Rave Radio. Hey everyone, welcome to AV Insider. I'm your host, Johnny Moda, as always, and today I will be speaking with the CEO over at Totem Acoustics, one of my favorite audio companies for a while now. But before I bring him on, as always, I'd like to thank my guest. He is my guest. I'd like to thank my sponsor, a little goof there, live on the show. Ingram Micro, they're the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out a lot of the solutions that they currently have, and you might be using some of them already, you may not, but it doesn't hurt to look. Like I said, head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check them out. As I mentioned, I have the CEO of Totem Acoustic, and Vince Brusesi is my guest today. Vince, thank you for taking the time.
It's a pleasure, Johnny. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you are in Canada, correct? Over on the East Coast of Canada?
Yeah, we're in Montreal.
Okay, great.
Cosmopolitan city down here in the East Coast.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of Totem, you know, kind of how long you've been there, how did you end up there, and then we can kind of build up, you know, just talk about general products at Totem.
Sure. Well, Totem has been here close to 30 years. And we started at a time when, you know, all the speakers were large, and we were designing very small volume speakers. Before we actually came out with our first successfully commercial product, we built, you know, on-wall product that was flat, you know, very, let's say, low level. They were only 3 inches deep, 6 foot tall, and fit right against a wall. Hmm. I thought in 1984, 85, that flat panels being right around the corner, I was wrong. It took another decade or so. they would have been right on. But the mathematics that was used for very small volume speakers, well, once we found out that the flat panel was a little bit too advanced for its time, we designed the Model 1 and came out with a very open, great sounding small speaker. And this was at a time, you know, when everybody drove 27-foot long cars and everything was super large.
Right.
But I liked very clean, articulate, quick sound. And at the time, the only thing that I thought could have fit the bill was the old original Quad 57. But you had to sit in a praying mantis mode and you couldn't move and you couldn't enjoy it with people around you. So, you know, the Model 1, I thought, was a perfect remedy for that. Small monitor, articulate, quick, great holography, very stable in space. And since we had purposely built a non-wall product, which had to be good off-axis, well, this one was fantastic off-axis also.
And a lot of that remains true today, though, that a lot of, I mean, I'm not going to say names or anything, but a lot of, you know, other competitors and other speakers are still designed that way. They're very directional. They're not meant to listen off-axis. And if you are listening off-axis, it's not a good sound or overall experience. And you, like you said, you are in that kind of sitting away in a praying mantis kind of like directional position, and that's where you listen, and they were designed that way.
Well, I agree with you. Whenever I designed a speaker, I always designed it in mono, and you had to, you know, I'm fairly tall and our speakers are very small, so if I stood up, went completely off axis, went to the back of it, you would always have to enjoy a sort of sonic landscape that did not disturb you. Therefore, there should have been no beaming in any type of position. And that's what we always eschewed, and that's what we always tried to put forth. And the reason being is that I always thought that listening to sound was a very social event, and you wanted to share it with everyone. Right. I remember growing up with my brothers and everybody else concerned, and we wanted to enjoy listening to music together and sharing it, and even telling people who weren't quite acclimatized to that type of environment that, hey, listen to this, it's fantastic. And it was this sharing potential and this ability to interact with people while listening to the music that I thought was very enjoyable.
You know, that brings a good point up. There's been this, I would say, and still is, ongoing kind of debate that, you know, if you're listening to music and you're doing other things, let's just say, call it multitasking, mm-hmm. You're not necessarily, is what one... some people say you're not enjoying the music to its full potentials, where others say, you know, Totem included, you know, it's meant to enjoy with others, and you can be doing other things, engaging with people, and, you know, not necessarily just focused on the music, and, you know, you can't talk to someone else. You know, you're engaging with other people while still fully enjoying that music. And, you know, Totem with the off-axis design, keeping that in mind, I would say that that's kind of what the sort of the philosophy is that you are meant to enjoy that, go, you know, go multitask and really still enjoy that music to its full potential.
I think so. Well, you can do both, you know. Yes, you can enjoy with people, and don't forget that subconsciously we still listen attentively. And even when you put your total conscious effort into listening to the music, today I was listening with actually somebody at work, and we were listening to the old cooking LP of Miles Davis. We're listening to the original and a fantastic redo, and we found the original so much more fulfilling. And that's intensive listening. And you can still do it on a Totem speaker, and you can still talk while you're listening to it, and you can do both. And the whole procedure is to have both available to you. Yes, the intense listening ability is there, but you can also share it, and the sharing is so much more fun. Even when you're commenting on something, you know, as acute as two different LPs and how great they sound.
Right. And here's one other thing I'll bring up is like, here where I am on the West Coast, in the Bay Area, there's a lot of artists and such, and when I go to a lot of the galleries and showings, a lot of times what they have is a lot of artwork showing up, but they also have music playing. And a lot of conversations, you know, and there's alcohol and things like that. But everyone's engaging in the artwork, and the music itself, it's in itself, is its own artwork, and they kind of complement each other, I think, in a way that music and art kind of flow well together. So that being said, that you are still enjoying, you know, a conversation, or you're enjoying the visual stimulation along with some audible stimulation from the music. But I still think that you can appreciate that the music, you know, even if it's kind of what I would call, you know, in the background, you know, it's not, you know, they're doing multiple things, but I still feel that, like, yeah, it's possible to enjoy all that.
Well, our lifestyles today, you know, beyond, you know, this multitasking that we do, even at an art event or anywhere, we're still listening to music. Even if you're with a date and you're listening to music, you're still listening to both. And one has an effect with the other. And today, in a den environment where we have kids, we have friends, we have everything, it is still an interpersonal event that is happening. And it's not the time. I know that in the past we used to have to get together and huddle in a sofa and listen to it, but how much more did we want to spill it over to the other guests in the room?
Right.
And while you're having a glass of Amarone or something of the nature, you wanted to involve those people and say, well, you have to listen to this, either be it Monteverdi or Jimi Hendrix or whoever it was. Could have been, you know, Coltrane, or it could have been, you know, Horace Silver. It could have been anyone. But you want to say, just feel that. Feel that trumpet coming in, or feel that piano playing coming in. And you want to share your exuberance. And I think Totem has always remained true. And it does that in all instances, from the smallest monitors to the large one. And because we've had, I think, this off-axis perception correct from the get-go, that's why we're so successful. Even being an audiophile company, we're successful architecturally, because our on-walls and our successive in-walls, you know, portray that so well. So even in a mundane product, as you think, oh, I'm going to slap in an in-wall because that's all what the designer wants, or what, you know, the other person in the house wants. From Totem, you can still get a fantastically honest representation, you know, of what the overall musical picture is, and the overall musical scenario is, and the meaning behind it. You know, there's very few things out there that give it to you all in that perspective.
I think, yeah, I agree with you. Whether that's an in-wall or a nice small box speaker, Totem really has a full range of product that really, you know, like whether that's an in-wall or not, really has a full range of music. And, you know, and when you get into the larger floor-standing speakers, I really enjoy the look of the tower speakers and the way they're designed. And my first experience when I first met you many years ago, and I'm sure you probably wouldn't remember it, but it was at CES, because there's just so many people coming in at CES, and I don't remember which year specifically. It was around 2005, perhaps. But and it was by chance, and maybe it was the end of the day, and I was wandering through the Venetian, going from room to room, and I came across Totem. and I heard some music, and I don't remember recall, but I do recall it was probably some sort of electronic music, and I was like, wow, you know, this is the kind of music I listen to and things like that. But what really struck a chord with me was the amount, the clarity on the speakers, and at the same time, the amount of like low end that was coming from these in-wall speakers. And at the time, these were the Kin in-walls. And I was kind of looking around, okay, well, that's great, but where's the subwoofer that's producing all this low end and bass? And, you know, eventually I think I had to walk up to you and ask you, and you said, there is no subwoofer. It's just, you know, these in-wall Kins. And I was amazed that such, you know, such low end and really a good punch could come out of something like that. And when you pull the grills off, you could see how tiny these drivers were. And I, from that point forward, you know, I'd written a blog post, and I was like, I have to start, you know, specking these in projects. And I just was a believer from day one.
Well, thank you, Johnny. Well, our drivers and our speakers always employed small diameter drivers. I think that's the only way to get phase correctly. Because on a large diameter driver, the voice coil being in the middle, by the time it gets to the edge, it's already out of phase.
Hmm.
And therefore, our ultimate battleships like the Element Metal only have a 7-inch driver.
Right.
So the Kin and the Tribe in-wall, which have 4-inch drivers, are ample. They'll go down to around 60 hertz or so, and they do it correctly. And it's not so much the extension, but how properly in phase it is. And that's the whole texture behind our speakers. And that's the success behind a Totem product, is that you can put it against about anything in the world. If you put it against lower cost product, well, of course, it'll shine. But if you could put it against upscale product and more expensive product, it shines even more because the phase is correct. And people react to it like viscerally. They sort of know what a correct sound is. We have 3 million years of evolution that tell us what correct sound is. We have point source hearing already built in, which actually allowed us to survive as a species. And if we don't know exactly where the sound is coming from, we subconsciously become very disturbed and very nervous. So Totem puts you at ease because you know exactly where the sound is in space. So you relate to it, and it puts you at ease. And then you feel that the bass context and the harmonics, even though it doesn't go down to 20 hertz on a small in-wall product, whatever it does so correctly, and your brain extrapolates the rest. And then we have fantastic little subs that fill up that lower register for the ones that need it. And we've always sweated the details. Unlike other companies, whenever we come out with a model, we try to extend its life as much as possible. It's like Gibson coming out with a Telecaster or a fantastic 345ES and saying, well, we're going to stretch that model as long as it can because it's a fantastic product and it deserves a lifespan of its own. And as long as our dealers and the consumers love it, well, we should continue it and we'll perfect it and specialize it as long as we can. It's no use just bringing out another model and making it cheaper so we can make a different, you know, a little more profit or make a little bit of a different look that makes it successful. So you were talking about our industrial design, where our industrial design is simple but high quality. It doesn't look old after a few years of use. It looks fantastic.
Right.
A great thing about a Totem product, you can take a 20-year-old product and the corners don't sag. You know, the thing still looks great. At our 20th anniversary, I had Lucy Lentini buy back from one of our customers almost a 20-year-old pair of staffs. And she brought it up to me, you know, nonchalantly. And she says, well, what do you think of this black ash staff? I said, oh, it looks great. It looks like our current production. I said, our current production looks awesome. She says, no, this is actually a 19-and-a-half-year-old product that you yourself assembled. I said, wow. right there, you know, like,
yeah.
It stood for all that we stand for, a continuity and something that is built in a timeless fashion. You know, like a modern Bauhaus type of design that lasts through the decades. And additionally, I can proudly say that Totem, as an owner, I can proudly say that Totem has parts for every speaker that we ever made. And we support that. The greatest, I think, let's say, failure of some companies is that they might have an occasional product that is great, but then they can't support it. Oh, it'll change. And they say, well, this part can be substituted and it'll be just as good, but it's not. and that original balance, that original texture that you felt, like you felt in a Marantz 8B or a Marantz 9 or a Mac 240 or, you know, one of the great old vintage units. There was a balance to the original product that rendered it at a very different level, that made it be successful for many decades and continuously so. And at Totem, we want that to continue. If somebody bought a product such as a Mite, even though it seems humble, it's a great speaker, or a Model 1 Signature, or a Forest, that we have parts to, you know, support that product for decades, because a speaker is something that you can enjoy for decades to come. And in the past, we've owned an electronic company and a speaker company, and we divested ourselves of the electronic company purposely to just concentrate on speakers, because in our opinion, speakers are the one that touch you. They're the ones that do the vibrational energy that actually causes the shift to hit you and for you to react to it. And therefore, it's the most intense of any product that is in a surround or in a stereo system, or even in a mono system. So that is why we concentrated on speakers, and that is why we think that a continuity on speakers and an accuracy on speakers is difficult to achieve. And once you achieve it, we work hard to maintain it at that very high standard and level. And for it to be continuously so, you know, for decades, that's, in today's throwaway society, it's something.
Right, and like you said, really stand the test of time, and then 20 years later, still be able to support that same model.
Absolutely, without fault. So if we come out with a model, like you mentioned before, the Kinninwall, well, it has to be at the top of the field when it comes out.
Right.
Knowing that it has a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades life. And even down the road, it'll still have characteristics that distinguish it from its path. From it, or the rest of its competition. We don't consider, you know, other speakers competition, because we always, you know, try to surpass ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the Kin, you know, just from a technical point of view, has a tweeter that goes up to 40,000 cycles. Ruler straight. You wouldn't believe how quick and clean it is. We use some of the magnetics from the torrent drivers in our most expensive gear, and we dumbed them down to the little tweeter to make sure that it's extremely linear. And when as we perfected that little tweeter, we saw that it had the potential to go up to 40,000 cycles. And why not? Yes, we can't hear it, but harmonically, it's so rich and clean. And the little woofer that we developed, well, we had the Model 1 Signature and the Manitou and other of our fantastic monitors as a reference. So we wanted to give it that clean mid-range, right up to 2,500 cycles. And the junction of those two units is magical. And it took us 3-4 years to get that M-hex cone, which is that phenolic paper, hexagonal-based little cone that is incredibly light, very, very, very stiff. In fact, its stiffness ratio is higher than metal. Hmm. And yet it only needs one crossover part, because over the years, we built five-way speakers in the past, such as the Shaman. But we wanted to simplify things, because we know that phase is least affected by that. So if we can get the phase perfect in a speaker that just utilizes an inductor, which is a coil, and a capacitor, and no resistors, because that tweeter is so amazing, well, we can have a phenomenal product and bring it out at the lowest price point possible. So today, a pair of Kinninwalls is incredibly affordable. A pair of Kin Minis at $500 is shocking with one of the little subs. We just did John Rain's event from his wonderful store in New Hampshire, Nashua, last week, and people were just mesmerized. So what were we playing? Yeah, we were playing the metals at close to $4,000 a pair, and they were phenomenal. Dynamics, those 7-inch torrents blasting away, but then we quickly played the little Kin Mini at $500 a pair with the little Kin sub, and people were saying, oh my gosh, I have to reevaluate everything that I understand about speakers and about sound. And that's what we try to do, is we push ourselves to keep up to these standards. And we want to keep this industry honest, because how much abuse has there been? where people have spent, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And at the end of the day, they said, oh, so this is all it's what it's all about. I'm going to go buy a boat. I'm going to go buy, a DB3. I'm going to go buy something else in life that keeps my interest.
Right.
But Totem is here to keep things honest. We're revolutionary in our application. I think in dynamic speakers, we have stretched the limits of what is possible, and we continue doing so. And then we throw a product like the Kin Mini, which at $500, and then the little Kin Sub at $700, or the upcoming Kin Mini Sub at $500. That's where the industry standard should be. Take that. Make sure that you can listen to it 60, 70, 80 degrees off axis and enjoy it enormously. I play some of my greatest jazz albums on that little Kin Mini system, and it's shocking. Today I was again listening to it, and I said, wow, we did right. We did our industry and the people who listen to this and who still consider music in a home important, such as yourself too. We did that right. And then if people don't want a mini system and they just want in-walls, well, we have the Kin in-walls, and we have the Tribe in-walls, and we have a whole, let's say, length and breadth of on-walls, even the fabulous Tribe 3 with the Torrent technology, no crossover in the woofer path. And the Element series, compact, no crossover in the woofer path. You know, things that have freer resonances down to 15 hertz. I know technically, you know, some of your audience might not appreciate that, but these are goals that have never been achieved before in dynamic speakers, and we did it in compact, elegant cabinets that are still affordable. You know, you don't have to take a mortgage out on them. You can actually buy these and enjoy them. The cats won't come screeching out of the room, and the kids will enjoy it.
Right.
I brought up three kids, and they always listened to Totem speakers, and I must say, I don't know if they were intellectually stimulated by them, but I believe so. My grandkids too, and it goes down the line, and it's part of their environment. And I think listening to music at that level and listening to sound, whatever people call music, that's not for me to interpret. Listening to it at that level, I think, stimulates, you know, psychoacoustically and neurologically anyone's system. And children are enthused with it, and so are adults. And it keeps us sharp, it keeps us acute, and it keeps us intervolved with everyone around us. And again, that's, I think, the purpose of a Totem product.
Before I comment on the, there's so much I want to say there on the design and the Tribe 3s and the look and it being its own art form and producing such sonic magic, I would say. I want to go back really quick and make an edit to my first statement. When I said, yes. I first saw you guys, I said Kin in-wall. That is incorrect. It was the Tribe.
It was the Tribe.
The Tribe in-wall.
Yes,
but
the
now,
Tribe.
Now you have the Kin in-wall, which I'm still amazed by that you're getting such clarity out of. I don't want to say, you know, a sub level of an in-wall, but I mean, it's just not, you know, obviously it's not the same parts, but I was just amazed by, you know, this new Kin, you know, next of kin of to the Tribe in-walls. I was just amazed by the smaller version of it. And again, you know, you have, you know, the Kin minis and the Kin subs. Over at my brother's house, we have a little Kin sub for his little two-channel computer setup. And before I knew what it was, I'm like, you know, what's going on in your computer room? And he's like, oh, it's that new, you know, Kin sub. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I had to go over and turn it on, and I just sit there and like just relax and listen to it. And even off accident, it had this little half wall, and it was putting out so much low end frequencies that I was just like, is it seriously going on right now, like, for this tiny little cute little sub? And I was amazed. And then so now I'm trying to get a few more a couple of Kin minis in my showroom where I'm out in Napa. But we also have the Tribe 3 you mentioned.
Yes.
The nice curved edges, rounded edges, you know, that alone, you know, just the that little detail is such, you know, it's just some things that some certain companies don't do. Just adding something like that really makes that the housing that much more to appreciate. And they have the different colors. And again, you know, this little Torrent driver, or just these tiny, tiny drivers, but such amazing clarity. It really is, you know, something to look at visually, stimulation and enjoy, as well as listen and, you know, off axis is another great thing. And you also brought up another point, you know, that, you know, your children and grandchildren and things like that, you know, just being raised on that, it's very, you know, it's I feel that music is like kind of a universal language. Even if you and I can't speak the same language, you know, we can all still enjoy music and still understand what that is. And it's very stimulating on the mind. So to have something that can produce such tones at a good clarity is really something that can be said and then enjoyed by many, by all, really.
Yes. Well, the Tribe 3 for us was a tremendous revolution. And again, you know, we not only do the little round edges in the front, because don't forget, here in North America, they're quite affordable. Overseas, they're much more expensive. And we sell 35% of our production overseas. And a Tribe 3 has to stand on its own against floor standing speakers. Mm-hmm. And that little Tribe 3 woofer, the little torrent woofer, mm-hmm. actually takes 2 hours and 45 minutes to produce each one.
Wow.
Not 10 minutes. These are all machined like a Swiss watch, hand-assembled, no crossover in front of them, and we're proud of them to the nth degree. It's almost NASA-type technology, if not more than NASA-type technology. To get that, you know, that 26 hertz free air resonance, that no crossover, and that smooth off-axis response. And if you throw, let's say, 20 watts on them, 2 watts, it's amazing. But if you can also throw 500 watts at them and still enjoy them because they're under incredible control, the magnetic structure allows that. But we're very proud of, you know, and very happy because my VP is Lucy Lentini. She's a woman and she wants everything to be adaptable to both tastes, not just a guy who wants huge musical reproduction and wants this and that and being able to brag about it, but also to have a svelte international look that, again, does not get used up with time. It's not going to look like an ugly frog after a few years.
Right.
And we sweat those little very minor details that make it look fantastic. And the finishing. Well, just today, this week, actually, we were looking over the production costs for a pair of forests in polyester, and we added up the total time that it takes to make a pair. And we were flabbergasted. It took 42 hours of Totem time, North American labor time, to produce a pair of, you know, four signatures. And a pair of Tribe 3s, believe it or not, if you take 2¾ hours per driver and, you know, the luxurious cabinetry and the high gloss finish, is close to 24 hours. Wow. So it's an enormity of time, and we don't skimp any of those time details. Apart from the technological advances that we think we did in dynamic drivers. And a part of what we're famous for, it's endemic. It's stamped. There's a Totem tattoo stamp on every one of our products.
Right.
They're amazing off-axis. And the Tribe 3 exemplifies that. When we initiated the Tribe 3, I remember this was 8 years ago, we played it just as a mono unit. After having played the Manitou on a large Hall Crow system, just to show people that, okay, you can play a pair of Manitous on a Hall Crow. At that time, Hall Crow was still fairly famous, and it sounded amazing. What a reference monitor. That's why studios use it. And then we played one single Tribe 3 in a corner to show people, this is what Totem is going to. Hmm. Enjoy it. You can put it anywhere, in a corner, on a wall, and still get that incredible musical enjoyment and that expansion of sound, that dispersion of sound that captures you. So if it's Ray Charles, Ella, or, you know, whoever is playing there, it'll give you every inch of that information that is there. It's important, I think, because a lot of companies have fallen away because of economics, because of other things, or because, look, technology wasn't there to bring him to that level. So we can do it, and we have striven in the last decade to work very hard towards having this assimilating architectural product that plays to the highest standards. And we're fantastically happy about it. We can bring it to a lot of different homes in that fashion.
One of the other things that kind of astounded me, aside from the overall performance of the drivers that, Totem produces and the look, once I was sitting with you and my my rep for the air, Rich Jackson, at his house one day, and you were like holding one of these Torrent drivers in your hand, and you'd given it to me, and I picked it up, and this is massive. It's a solid machined chunk of metal, and the first thing I thought, you know, I was thinking, you know, how much it costs for me to buy a speaker with this in it, or, you know, this price. And then thinking, because I came from a manufacturing industry 10 years ago or more, and so I used to machine, you know, not that specifically, but lots of metal products, thinking how long it took, you know, tooling, manufacturing processes, you know, and different operations, and just, you know, trying to figure out in my head, you know, how long it would take to machine something like that, and then determining, I'm like, you know, I don't know how you guys are making money, you know, with this solid chunk of metal in my hand, and that's going in each one of these speakers. It's a long process, and it takes a lot of money. And I don't know if you guys have in-house machine shop that produces that?
Yes, we do, because if we weren't vertically aligned, I'll tell you, there's a lot of companies that operate under the principle, and we did to a certain extent in the past, where you buy a very great quality driver, and we've always operated with our own principles. So we threw to all our subcontractors these weird formulations, and as best as they could, they followed them. But when they couldn't, we decided to build our own drivers for those particular applications. And we said, well, since Totem is vertically aligned, we have our own cabinet shop, we have our own metal machining, we do not bump up the price. So we don't say, oh yeah, if we had this driver, well, it cost us $250. Well, we should charge the company, you know, $350 or $400. No, we just charge Totem the cost of the machining and the cost of the metal, period. So therefore, whatever multitudes or amplification of the pricing occurs, it's minimal to the consumer.
Right.
And we're proud to say, and we always tell our dealers, the driver cost in a Tribe 3, which is an on-wall product, is probably more than $15,000, $16,000 a pair of speakers that are out there.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was trying to compare. I'm like, well, if you compare this to someone else, you could easily spend a couple thousand dollars more.
Yes, I believe so. And we try to keep it honest. And I think that's the way that industries, especially our industry, should evolve in. Because the consumer has a right to buy a top quality product that is performance oriented, sleek, svelte, wonderful, but also has value. He cannot feel ripped off.
Right.
That's, you know, 30 years ago, that's why I came into this industry, is because as a consumer, I felt ripped off. I said, oh my gosh, what I read about this product is not true. It does not have the build standards that I assumed it would from everything that I researched. And I just purchased a speaker that cost me as much as a car, you know, and I felt so guilty, you know. And then you buy another product and it's basically the same salad, but, you know, with different colors. And I promised myself that if we would start a company, we would give value. So if you buy a $500 a pair Kin Mini, rest assured you have one of the best speakers around.
Right.
And if you buy, let's say, a Tribe 3 at around $1,700, $1,800 a unit, you have an incredible product that is unique in the world and that you'll utilize for decades. And I think no one can surpass for another few decades or so. And that's what we try to bring out. That's why we have this continuity at Totem. That's why we want to have this value built in, but also this non-obsolescence, this great musical fluidity and non-obsolescence. It's just like having a great product. It's like having a great wine or having a great instrument. Oh, you know it's great. So what if it came out 5-10 years ago? It's better than whatever is made today.
Definitely is lasting a long lasting effect, and I still believe, you know, the design elements as well, the performance on any Totem product that I've ever, you know, tested. Like I said, at work we have some Tribes, I have some Rainmakers, we had elements there for a while as like a demo, we have the in-wall sub or Tribe sub, I have a floor standing or on-wall sub Tribe dual eights, and now I'm trying to get the Kin Minis, just because they're so tiny. I want someone to see, you know, for this amount of money, you could easily, you know, let's say you spend that on a pair of in ceilings and not get the same quality that you would get from something so small like this and minuscule that you could put on a bookshelf and still be off access and still enjoy this for 20 years.
Absolutely. Like in, I have a room at Totem. I'm blessed. I have a very lovely office, but I also utilize it mostly as my lab, you know, because it's a real room environment. And oftentimes I'll put the Tribe Minis with the little Kin, and then I'll up the ante. I'll put the Tribe Minis with the Tribe 88, and people are just floored. They think that I'm playing, you know, honestly, one of our largest speaker systems. and they walk around the room and they just don't understand it. And I just tell them, it's pure, unadulterated, great phase that does it. The response is beautiful. Everything is keen. Yes, it took us 3.5 years to get everything tuned just right. We just used two parts, no resistors. And it's a first that of any loudspeaker manufacturer where throughout a series of speakers, there's no resistors used. Because we don't use any resistors in the Kin Mini, and we don't use any resistors in the Kin Inwalls, any of the models. So that is a first. So we always go for these firsts, not to say that they're firsts, but because there's a valid and a very large amelioration in the product that we can do because of that.
I'm going to ask you to tell me a story that I heard a few years ago through one of my Totem reps. And I don't know if it's true. I'd like to ask you, and if you can comment, that'd be great. But first, again, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Ingram Micro. As I mentioned earlier, they're the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply solutions and more. If you go over to ingrammicro.com, you can check them out. Vince, I heard a story. In Canada, I'm told there are a few, maybe it's just one, and I've never been to Canada, so I don't know. An anechoic echo.
Anechoic chamber, yes.
Yes, chamber. And that's where most people test their products. It's not set for one company. It's multiple companies in Canada go, and they test their speakers. Mm-hmm. But I was told that you, yourself, at Totem, you have your own personal one or something of the sorts at Totem, because I was told that everyone is doing it wrong.
Well, everybody follows, you know, the anechoic chambers are always linked in with software programs. And Dr. Floyd Toole did amazing advances for standard companies. But I must tell you that Dr. Floyd Toole at that time was in charge of the anechoic chamber at the NRC. And other people, you know, Paul Barton from PSB and everybody else utilized those to great effect. In the mid-80s, we had looked at that system and, you know, we tested it and there was no advantage, basically, in us utilizing the government system. And we even built our own anechoic chamber at Totem and eventually discarded it. Because our mathematics is not based on anechoic chambers. All our base loading principles are not even based on Thiel small parameters where all software programs are based. We have our own tables at Totem and we guard them jealously. And I must tell you as a fact, and this is hand in fire, Dr. Floyd Toole once, very early on, maybe it might have been 1990, we were playing a small pair of Tots, which was one of Totem's early models, and he says, Vince, he says, you don't know who I am. I said, no, I'm sorry. I said, he says, well, I'm Dr. Floyd Toole. He says, how do you get the bass out of those? I said, well, you're Dr. Toole, so you should know how bass is generated out of a speaker. But I said, we've developed our own mathematical tables at that time, and we sort of guard them jealously. And will we divulge these? No, because then you have to sort of work around everybody else's base loading techniques. And developing our own, I think, gives us an advantage, understanding how harmonics flow in music and the interrelationship, not only in even order harmonics, but even an odd-ordered harmonics and how they react in a room is incredibly important. What we tried at Totem is how to basically duplicate what is in the artist's mind, but also in the composer's mind. And we put ourselves in that situation. And you can't do it really in an absolute true anechoic chamber. It's just too mind-numbing. So we do it in real rooms nowadays with our own math, and I think we've had it figured out pretty well. You know, honestly, even Lucy at our place, or Nico, or anybody else can take one of our products right now and tune it, because they're so acclimatized to it, and they're able to utilize it correctly. Like, we know when something is directional. We know when something is slowly out of phase. And of course, we have Melissa systems. We have all the latest systems at Totem, and we just match tweeters with them, basically. Because we know that in the real world, there's only one way to listen to your speakers, and that's with your complete body, ears, and soul. And that's the essence of what we try to portray in our product. It has to move you. It has to make you evolve from a sonic perspective. And it has to involve people such as yourselves, because you're in the front line, Johnny. You know our product. And you also know how difficult it is to get something out there that is a little bit more difficult and more unique. And you have to go forth and then educate the rest of the population with that. And it's not an easy task. And anechoically and professionally, and anybody can do it. You know, there's companies that pop out of the woodwork and call China or India or somewhere overseas and say, well, give me 4 containers. Then there's qualified engineers there who put together a speaker. Yes, a speaker which reproduces sound. Does it reproduce music, feeling, and everything else that goes with it? No, very rarely, on occasion and by accident. Every Totem product does that with ease. And I must say, that's an accomplishment. We have 50 SKUs, and they all sound amazing. I wouldn't mind just listening to any one of them for the rest of my life here at home. I don't have to have particulars. I think they're all fantastic with the right equipment.
And another thing I'll say, like, when I come visit you guys at CEDIA and shows and such, most of the time you go see a loudspeaker company, and usually, you know, you go in a room, and the room, you know, is sealed and things like that. It's, you're not really getting, you know, the conversations and things like that from the rest of the show. And shows typically are large. We're talking about thousands of people just talking over each other. The last time I saw Totem at CEDIA, probably 2 years ago, but it wasn't a sealed room. It was kind of a big open space. And so it's overflow of conversations and people talking over each other, of thousands of people. And I think at the time you were showing the Kin Minis on one side and the new Element series stuff. And I think I sat in front of the Elements for like 30 minutes with, you know, just relaxing and just enjoying the music and just kind of really tuning everyone out with, even with people talking, it was just an experience. And I just, like, you know, I can't, you know, No, it's like I wasn't even there with the rest of the show. It was just all tuned out, and it was a wonderful experience. And then I had to go over and listen to the Kin Minis, because I was like, oh, I didn't know that there was a new member to the kind of Tribes In Wall series. And I was amazed and astonished. I'm like, I can't, you know, that there was a new product. It wasn't just the new product, but just like the musical production and like the punch. And you had played I don't know if you personally or some of the people there, like at Totem, like playing some electronic music because of the bass reproduction on it. But I feel every time I go there, that gets played at least one time for one of the demos. But
I love anything from, you know, R&B to jazz to electronica. I enjoy pursuing every type of music. And the one you had listened to was probably Trent Muller or the group Yellow from Switzerland.
Okay.
It was one of the two tracks that we had played that year. And no one plays on In-Wall products, electronica. And then we played also R&B. And we're able to isolate that musical experience in space. That's what we do so well in any room. It could be a completely open room or even a sealed room, you know, like standard hotel rooms, as we have at Vegas. Our claim to fame when we started CEDIA, and we only started CEDIA maybe 12, 13 years ago. We were a novice to CEDIA, and we were only in a 10-by-10-foot booth, which was minuscule. And what we brought was the little Dreamcatchers, and we played with the little Dreamcatcher sub in a corner. And this was in the RCA Dome in Indianapolis at the time. And people would say, they'd come over from 50, 60, 70, 80 yards away and say, I heard that music and it was clear over all this hubbub, you know, that sounded like a Best Buy type of boom, boom, and everything going off at once. And that clarity captivated me and drew me in. And that's what I must say is true. And you've experienced some of it, Johnny, very well, you know, with the element. They keep you in place, and so does the kin. That's what all our product does. It just keeps you. So even if you're slowly passing by, subconsciously you're affected by that correctness of music. Or even if you're concentrating on it, you're marked by it. We have people who, you know, maybe had heard a pair of totems 5-6 years ago, and they said, that musical piece marked me, and it infected my soul in some way.
Yeah.
And I've always tried to replicate it somewhere. And when I rehear a totem product, I say, oh, I get it again. And therefore, you ultimately, you have to experience it at someone's house or get one for yourself. And I'm not saying just commercially. No, there's a specificity in it that we try to accomplish. And we try to accomplish because we love the music and we try to portray that and we try to put it forth in a modern product for today's time.
Any totem that I've experienced, like, I just get to that point where I'm just, like you said, like, if I would go somewhere else and try and replicate that, whether it's, you know, a similar size box speaker or tower, it just doesn't feel the same. It's a different experience. And then I go back to a totem product because, you know, throughout my family, my youngest brother has some totems, my father has some totems, you know, I have some totems at work. And now with my little nieces, you know, I want to sit them down and, like, you know, just play some of their music and see how they react to it, because I haven't gotten to that point yet. But throughout the family, it's just kind of one of those things. And, you know, we have entertain and people in a big open room. It's just off axis. And it just sounds like in certain areas, if I, whether I'm listening to a woman vocalist or electronica, it feels like I'm sitting right in front of that woman vocalist, even though I'm, you know, 20 feet away, not even right in front of them, off axis, and a kind of an open other side of the room. And it's really an experience that I haven't really replicated with other companies, because, like I said, a lot of loudspeakers are still designed for that, you know, that experience where you really need to sit, like you mentioned in that praying mantis, you know, roughly 5 feet away ish depending on the size of the drivers with the toe in and all that. They're really designed for that. They're not meant to go and experience and entertain and experience that feeling with other people.
It's true, Johnny. You know, and that was a goal of mine. And I must say, after 30 years, I've accomplished it. And even that was always a primary thing of our on-wall speaker, which had to perform well off-axis. And we only had a few liters, so it had to be in a small volume. So all this was new. And we applied it correctly, and we didn't want sound to change in characteristic. That's another thing that we apply rigorously. We utilize parts that people don't even dream of. And even our low-cost product, no one puts parts of that quality. And we ensure ourselves that even the wiring inside doesn't oxidize. And these aren't done by chance. You know, like even 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was a worldwide shortage of Teflon. So Teflon is, you know, just a product that covers and shields wires.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, that product became as scarce as hen's teeth in the world, because China had purchased almost a whole world supply to build their new Olympic stadiums and things of that nature, a lot of electrical companies and, you know, subcontractors who do wiring ships it over to all other, you know, equally performing, you know, type of equivalents. But they weren't equally performing for our needs, and we stubbornly stuck to it. So even though our costs multiplied by 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, we still stuck to it. We didn't pass that cost on. We knew it was a maybe 3-4 year burp, and then things would get a little bit more reasonable. And the same thing with neo magnets. We never changed, like 80% of the companies did, to standard magnets. We kept with the neo product, the neo 52s, the neo 45s that we utilized through 40% of our gear. So we don't cut things out because of worldwide shortages. We just trudge on. We live through those very difficult times, and then prices stabilize, and we have a certain buying capacity that allows for continuity. Sometimes, to build a very specific capacitor, we'll buy 8, 9, 10 years worth of supply to make sure that it's built precisely to those needs. And we're coming back to that sound. Well, that sound can only be defined with these very specific parts that are on a knife edge. And if anything in that, you know, transmission and ladder is broken or is somehow substituted, well, that magic is gone. So that's why we build product that has that magic and continuity and that can perform at that level, that non-directional level, that involving level, that, you know, almost infective level. When you listen to it, you want to talk about it. Or even if you're talking with other people, you're just happier. You're just more joyous. You're just, it's infectious. And that's what we try to do. And again, from $500 up to our most expensive at $14,000 a pair, we sell nothing at $100,000. You know, that's even the product that sells at $14,000 a pair, we have woofers that cost Totem close to $1,000 each to produce. And we put four of them in a product that retails for that amount of money. So we're vertically oriented. We give value. We don't abuse, and our dealers love us because we give them the support and we have product that really shines. And you can show that product against about anything in its category. I think we are alone. There's no mini monitor like the Kin Mini. There's no on wall like the Tribe 3. There's no in walls really like the Kin or Tribe in walls. And there's no little towers like the Staff or the Forest or anything like that that I think do what they do so well, and they blend, and they give so much, and it's such a small investment when you spend, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000 on a pair of speakers, and you know that it'll last 20 years. It's such a small investment. It's not something that has an HDMI, you know, upgrade every 2 years. it's not something where, oh, things will burn out. We have parts. We can keep these continuous. So even if a vicious accident happens, we support that. We have the follow-up. And we have the great dealers who understand our product and that can portray it for its strength, such as yourself, you know, who can say, well, look, this is what it does. And if you like that, this is the product for you, you know.
Can you speak on the level of, I also heard, and I don't know it to be true, that when kind of deciding on some of the floor standing models, whether that's, you know, the Force or the Staff or the Might, things like that, or even all the way up to Element series, are some more tuned for certain specific type of music? If I have a client that's very, you know, really likes jazz, would the Force might be more his style, or is that not true for the lines?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not really true for the lines because my musical tastes are incredibly varied. Mm-hmm. I just don't listen. I love jazz. Yes, I love jazz. I love classical. I love pop to a great extent. But I like electronica, and I always search for the most extreme music to see what is new for me. Hmm. So any speaker can do everything. But if somebody were to tell me, well, how come you have almost two competing speakers? Let's say a Wind Design, which is a three-way speaker, looks very sculpted. And then you have an Element that is, you know, almost at the same price point, but really sounds a little bit different. And I try to equate people with this. Well, if in life you like a Bentley Continental Coupe, you get the Wind Design. And, you know, it does everything. It's fast enough. It's quick enough. It can do about everything beautifully, smoothly. You know, it'll just in the lap of luxury. But if you want a little bit more and you're sort of a LaFerrari type of guy or a Lamborghini Aventador, well, then the Wind Design is not enough for you. You need the Element Metal. And can the Element Metal play jazz? Yes, it can. And if sometimes it's not sumptuous enough because you want that little extra lushness and envelope, well, right now we are a bit of submasters. You put a Tribe 88 sub, and that'll give you all the lushness that you need, plus have the attack and the transient quickness that no dynamic speaker on the planet right now can equate to the Element Metal or even the Element Fire. We have in Quebec, we have around 200 or so studios. And because Quebec studios, you know, just deal with mostly the French artists or bilingual artists in the province, they don't intermix with the rest of Canada studios. And a few of them started using the Element product. And they were shocked about how easily they can do the mixing. They take generally an element fire. And one of them quoted, he says, well, I had a next pair of $50,000 pair of speakers, and it used to take me 2 days, 12 hours a day, and I can barely get the mixing done. He says, with the fires, in 2 hours, I'm done. And the customer never says, I don't like the mix. Because again, in space and in quickness and in transience, it tells you the exact truth. But for some people, it's just too much. So then we have other product, like the, you know, because they're at that level, like even, you know, the little mites or the Model 1 Signature or anything in that range, which will give you a more relaxed type of presentation, even though it's very accurate and very spatial. But the element fire gives it to you all. And if you have the electronics or you have the combinations, which dealers sometimes have to work a little bit at finding, and know that an element fire is not happy 5-6 feet away from the back wall, but is was designed to be a foot or two away from the back wall, then you've got it all in into conjunction. Because modern day living doesn't allow you to put an altar of sound. You know, in the past it was possible. People want speakers at the bottom of a TV, sometimes 6 inches away from the back wall. And the Element product lends itself to that. You can put an Element fire right on the tabletop with an 8-inch diffracting edge, and voila, you've got an amazing sound. And actually, if you have the right electronics, it'll go, we claim 40 hertz, it's really flat down to 29 hertz. Wow. And even has information below the 30 cycle. Treated with respect, the elements are amazing. But some people don't want to drive a Lamborghini Aventador every day of their lives.
Right.
So they have something like a Forest Signature, which is really a Bentley, you know, coupe or something, or a Porsche 911. It's more amenable, it's more for every day, and they love it. So that is why we have these different speaker lines, but they all respect music in their integrity. If somebody were to say, I want large scale, I would tell them Element Metal. That's the largest scale of any speaker. If somebody says, I want that warmness and cycled, well, the of course, the Hawk, the Wind Design, and the Forest Signature to a great extent will do that. But the Forest Signature is basically a junction between the old of what we had at Totem and the new of what is at Totem. So if you understand the Forest Signature, you understand the Element too. And the Tribes, of course, are just that. They are also the on-wall representation of Torrent technology. Yes, a little bit softer because they don't need that 1 inch in, 1 inch out throw, but they do everything so right. And they have, you know, they have that fantastic dispersion ability. And you put it on an on-wall product that looks almost good enough to be in a museum, you know, and you've got it made. So all of them do all music correctly. I wouldn't play the Arrow, let's say, which is our slimmest tower, mm-hmm. on heavy rock music, but it can do very well, you know. And if you treat it with respect and you don't abuse, let's say, its dynamic capacity, it has such great off-axis presentations and such great spatial information that people sometimes will say, well, I'll play it less loud and I'll enjoy it. For most people who will, let's say, play rock and play a little bit of jazz and a little bit of everything, the staff is a great introductory speaker to Totem. The staff, the mite, they can play even with low-cost electronics and they play beautifully. If you have better quality electronics, of course, the Hawk, it plummets down to 30 hertz flat as a whistle in a room. But you can't drive it as hard as a Forest. So people who want a little bit more impulse speed, a little bit more of that, will take the Forest. Want that width. And then if somebody wants, let's say, a large Forest or the gigantic Forest, Element Metal. If somebody wants a larger Hawk, that would be the Element Earth. If somebody wants a large Model 1 or the best Model 1 on the planet, they would take the Element Fire. But there's a progression that you have to live. And for most people, they're very happy with our $1,500, $2,000 product, even our $1,000 product, even our $500 Kin Mini. That's enough for them. It's like being able to drive, let's say 25 years ago, you were in the car industry and you say, well, I'm going to get that Porsche 912. It's not the most expensive, but it's damn good. you wouldn't have made the wrong decision. So that is the case with Totem. None of the products are poor decisions. They're all fantastic in their own right. You utilize them, you intermix them with a little bit of good wiring, a little bit of electronics, which of course you can tell, you know, more than the manufacturer can what to, you know, mix with them, and you've got a winning combination.
And they definitely are, like we just mentioned, definitely standing that 20-year mark at least. And
yes, absolutely.
And still look like, you know, like you said, you know, like something that you're producing today.
Yes. Look, no one can beat a great corner. You know, we bought, when we came into our new building at Totem around 14 years ago, we decided to get brand new furniture, nice wood furniture and everything. Then after a couple of years, it wasn't built in our own shop, so we bought from one of Canada's best wood, you know, wood manufacturers for office furniture. And after a few years, you see the veneer sink a bit, the lacquer sink a bit, the corners sag, and we get none of that in our product. So we're proud of that lock mitering. It was to be, you know, that we went with that that thing. Not a very heavy cabinet. It dissipates energy quickly. Our cabinets look amazing. We use some of the best European and, you know, chemicals on it, the best Italian polyurethanes on it. So we do it all in steps because I love longevity. Yes, I drive, you know, as a car, I drive an 84 diesel from Mercedes, but I also have a Lambo. I also have a Porsche 911. I also have an old Ferrari. So I enjoy things that last and that have a character to them. So if you listen to, let's say, even one of our products that, you know, for one reason or other, we do not make anymore, they're still a Totem product in all their essence and truth. Even 20-year-old products, every product that we have today that is a floor standard, the staff is 20 years old. The Model 1 SIG is over 25 years old, and it's still fantastic. The Manitou, all those, and they still exist today. And some of our dealers, you know, they've sort of shied away from them, and then for one reason or other, they purchase another one of these, and they come back and they say, wow, this is amazing. Yes, because it's still a Totem product. It has to have a raison d'être, and a raison d'être in French means a reason for existence, and the Totems again portray that every model, and that continuity, like you say, the style has to be it. It's a Bauhaus. It's always beautiful. You design it. Yes, sometimes it'll be slightly out of style, but most of the time, in 90% of all its life, it'll look great and amazing. The corners are right. The proportions are right. You know, sometimes we'd go through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 prototypes and just vary it by half a millimeter, a millimeter, a quarter millimeter, an angle here and there, just to make them just perfect, you know, just to say, so Lucy and everybody else on the staff can say, yeah, I'm happy with it. It looks very nice. And we've lived with it for a year. We've named it after we've listened to it for 18 months. And we only named them after we listened to them extensively. And they're sort of baptized in a certain way, and they're off and running, and they have to be right. I remember when we brought out the Tribes, we had the Tribe 1 and 2, and that was astonishing. They wanted a larger one, and the pressures were enormous from all their dealers, you know, 150 dealers clamoring for a Tribe 3, which was larger. But we wouldn't bring out a Tribe 3 just by putting more drivers. We had to make it special. We had to make it into the Tribe 3 with the Torrent product to make sure that it's one echelon up, one giant step up. And that's the commitment that I have, that we have. Everyone who works at Totem has that commitment to that premise, that it has to be special, and we want it to be long-lived. We want it to have that continuity. And everyone believes it, and that's what we portray. And believe it or not, we live pretty humbly. Everybody at Totem does, but we invest everything that we can in effort and time and energy back into the company, because our purpose is that, you know, our calling has been that for, you know, 3 decades.
Again, the Totem experience is something that I think everyone, you know, should try. You know, maybe you can't spend that much money on the you know, the element series stuff. So, I mean, just as basic, as you said, Vince, you know, a pair of $500 Kin Minis at its basic, you know, this is still pretty new to Totem, but just that kind of experience is something. It's not very expensive, you know, for almost anyone. But then what you're experiencing, though, is very unique sound and experience altogether, and that can be appreciated by small children to adults, to people, you know, living out their full lives. It's very unique, yes. And it's a great experience.
I think the Kin Mini is a life changer, honestly. If people get a set of those with one of our little subs, they'll have to reevaluate what is true about sound. They'll listen to TV. And even though it might not be at one point large enough or whatever, they'll still put it in an office. They'll still utilize it somewhere. But it is a game changer in the industry. Honestly, whatever we produce in that product is sold, you know, because it is a tremendous winner. And we were not shy. Like I said, last week and the week before and every presentation that we do, especially in the last year or so, we've always showed the Kin Mini to show that it is... there's a rightness, there's a correctness, and people get it. We don't have to do any explaining. All you have to do is listen to it, and it's immediately understandable that product is absolutely correct. You know, and it transmits you elsewhere. And even listening to a soccer game is interesting.
Yeah, that's. I think that pretty much kind of sums up the experience that I had with my first Totem, you know, the Tribe InWall. It was just like, you know, it just seriously changed everything I thought I knew about speakers and music and audio. And it's like I said, all I could think of was like, you know, where's the subwoofer? There's just no way that these two InWalls are producing that sound. It kind of just looked at me like, no, they are. And so since then...
That was the purpose of the Tribes, you know, to let people know, hey, you can have... Okay, you want to go InWall? Let's build a Totem for an InWall.
Yeah.
That was our first fully boxed InWall product, and it had to be amazing. It had to do everything so correct. And, you know, and again, we just do it with a few parts internally on the crossover. But, the capacitor that we use is a $50 capacitor in some instances, 40 pounds sterling in another instance. So we don't shy away from using the absolute best parts to make sure that those are, you know, at that level. And plus, those drivers were specifically made just for that purpose, you know. And like yourself, it had to, you know, separate us from everything else that is out there. Because every year, every company comes out with 100 different products.
Yeah.
You know, there's oodles of that. And, you know, to make a statement like that and say, no, we have to be stood out because we only bring a few little products out every year, and those products last for a long time. So if we're going to bring out our first fully backed, fully boxed, rear boxed InWall, it better be amazing.
Right, because otherwise, what differentiates you from the next guy that has, you know, 30 new InWalls or, you know?
Absolutely true, you know? And you can show the customer base our construction, even on the InWalls. Okay, you don't see them, but wow, you say, whoa, this is serious build quality. Yes, we do it internally, externally, and even in parts.
Yes.
And especially for InWalls, we want to make sure that they're bulletproof because it involves an extra step, you know, in installation. And when you have, you know, an in-room product, well, you can take it and service it if ever the need arises. But if you have an InWall product, it involves usually a removal, you know, and it's a little bit more challenging for some people. So our InWall product had to be that much more reliable, and that's what we, you know, entertained to do. In fact, we were proud to say that of the Tribe product, out of the maybe first 20,000 or 25,000 that we built of all the Tribe units, we only had one person call in for some service, which is the industry leading in that type of reliability. And again, that's what we try to do with all our architectural product, to make sure that it's super bulletproof beyond all the positive attributes that Totem has also.
If I had to name the show right now, I would say Totem Acoustics, you know, a reason for existence. There is a reason for Totem, and, you know, the experience that I've had overall, and, you know, you aren't producing you know 30 new products every year. Every couple of years a new product comes out, and that really changes what I thought I knew from the last time I saw Totem, or even audio on wall, in wall, small, now with the Kin Minis, a small little box speaker. It's just one of those things that is really kind of redefining the way that you experience and listen to music. It's just something, you know, for lack of better words, must be experienced in person.
Yes, it must be. It must be, because a Kin Mini grabs you. It just doesn't shake you loose. It says, "I'm here. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it." And it's not just done by fireworks. It's done by, you know, the musical intensity and the message behind it. And it doesn't let you loose. The more you listen to it, the more captivated you are. And I'm glad you got infected with it, Johnny.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's the way music should make you feel. You know, I think when you hear a certain song, everyone, you know, it's something different for everybody. But certain people, maybe it's a married couple, you know, the first time they kiss, they hear that song, they go back to that experience. And that's the way music, you know, it reaches out and grabs you. And with, like, Totem's, you know, whether that's an in-wall, a tribe, an on-wall, you know, a fire, a staff, a mic, the subwoofer, these Kin Minis, what in any range of those speakers, it's definitely one of those experiences, whether I'm listening to, you know, electronic music or some jazz or some vocalists or, you know, rock and roll or whatever. It's like a whole new meaning of audio enjoyment. It's just like a whole another experience for me. And it just makes me feel like, I don't know, like music is one of those things that I feel that, you know, should be heard right, and, you know, Totem is definitely doing right, for, you know, lack
tremendous
of words. Yes.
Well, we need emissaries such as yourself, because Totem is not, you know, a tip of the tongue type name.
Right.
You know, we don't have the marketing potential that huge companies have, but we sell real world product for real people, and the message behind it and the sort of strength behind it is much stronger than actually the whole presentation aspect of it. And you know that we present things beautifully, but we need emissaries such as yourself to let people know that there's reality behind this product, and it should be heard, you know, and it should be experienced, basically.
Well, I'm glad to help, and I constantly do at my little business that I work out of in Napa, California. It's not my business, but I work there, and
yes,
I'm a believer in Totem, and like I said, I've, you know, even if, you know, one day I'm not a Totem dealer with the company I'm at, it's still strongly one of those things that, you know, I'll own it probably for the rest of my life.
Well, tremendous, Johnny.
Want to thank you for your time. If anyone out there is listening and they are interested in reaching out to Totem, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, we have info@totemacoustic.com.
Okay.
That's an info line where they can get specific questions answered. Also, our website, totemacoustic.com, and if need be, if they ever have to phone directly, we have a toll-free line for everyone in North America. That is 866-222-1062, and they can ask if I'm available. I'll answer the phone also. Vince, Nico's there, and other people across the board. We have five to six other people who can answer technical questions and give all the support needed.
Thank you very much for that. And if you guys are social like myself, you can go over to Facebook.com and check them out at Totem Acoustic is their fan page. So it's just Facebook.com/Totem Acoustic. If Twitter still exists tomorrow, they have a Twitter account like myself. It's also just @Totem Acoustic. If you like to see these visually stimulating products that we're talking about that also produce an immense sound, for unbelievable woofer sizes. Instagram, they are also @Totem Acoustic. They got some good stuff there. And that, I think, is a good representation of the Totem experience. You guys have a reason for existence, and I'm glad that you're here.
Well, thank you for bringing me up to that social thing, 21st century.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Like I said, some people use it, some people don't. But if you guys don't do any of that stuff, just go to the website, totemacoustic.com. You can see these beautiful towers, these in-walls, these on-walls. And if you're looking for a dealer, I'm sure you can, you know, we can
The website.
The website. You can help find one in your area. Or call in. Vince will gladly answer your calls, maybe Nico or Lucy.
Yes.
Vince, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
You.
I know you're ahead of me. And I'd like to invite you back on the show, you know, maybe later in the year or next year when you guys have some more stuff coming out. I know that you're having the Kin Mini Sub and things like that. And as things develop, you know, maybe just talk music, talk audio in general.
It would be awesome. Maybe next time we can talk a little bit of the tracks that we utilize. And
yeah, I'd love to.
That we both like. And things in general.
Hey, just
again, thanks to yourself and everyone who's listening.
Just really quick, what's the last thing you listened to today? Let's say that.
Today was actually a little bit of John Coltrane, and it was on his self-entitled album, Coltrane. Well, I was listening to it with the Kin Minis, believe it or not, and I went down on the sub. I usually use the double later in my room, but I went to the Kin sub, and it was awesome. And I didn't have time to go switch it to the metals with the larger tube system, but I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I think my new setup is definitely going to be the Kin Minis with the Kin sub, because for that experience, it's just one of those unbelievable things, and it's so small and compact. I think
but it is so right. You get it. You get John Coltrane. I had difficulty sometimes listening to John, but wow. So to Johnny and John, thank you.
Well, thank you again, Vince. I appreciate your time, and we'll be talking soon. Everyone, this has been AV Insider, and we will talk to you all soon.